not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keen,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
What's up? Welcome back. We're here with Mike Malone from Walking Tree Brewery. Say what's up, Mike.
Hey, guys.
And before we get into anything with him, Larry's going to get into the Gorilla Gauntlet.
Jeremy. All right. They can't tell who's who on here. It's all right. Yeah. All right. Gorilla Gauntlet. Married or single?
Married.
Any children?
I have two stepsons, one of which I just permanently adopted. So I have one legal child and one stepson.
Congratulations.
That's awesome, man.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Favorite movie or book?
God, that's fucking tough.
Now, since you started the Walking Tree Brewery, how many movies have you had the opportunity to see?
I watch so many movies, it's terrible. I don't watch very many new movies. I'm going to have to say Empire. And then my favorite book is... Jesus.
What's Empire?
Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, okay.
Do we have to really go into the full name of Star Wars movies?
Well, hold on.
I knew you're at.
I did not because there's a show called Empire, so I didn't know...
That's the Spaceballs one, right?
Oh my God.
Seriously? No, Spaceballs is Spaceballs. Empire Strikes Back is...
Oh yeah, it's okay. Like the spoof on Spaceballs,
no,
right?
No, did you see the last one?
I've seen them all.
All right, so the last one, it was me, my wife, and my son were watching it, and I was like, we're going to go all the way to the back so nobody can mess with me because like, I want to see this movie because I like Star Wars. My truck is a Stormtrooper, just so you know. So...
He likes it, but you know you're talking
good
about.
Good to know.
Yeah. So, anyways, we were watching it. I felt like the guy next to me was the biggest Star Wars guy. Cause like everything that happened, like affected him for real. like
Matt was there?
No. Oh. So this guy, like something dramatic happened. He's like, oh shit. Like he was like it really happened.
Like,
I was like,
okay. Like it hurt. If it hurt them, it hurt him.
So yes. I find that interesting. You want to really pay attention. So you sit in the back.
I do.
I want to really pay attention. I sit in like the sixth row.
No, I sit in the back
like
because
right in the front because
nobody so else goes there, right?
I want it.
I want it super close.
I don't want somebody's feet in my back.
Okay.
Back to the book.
Yeah.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, right on.
Okay.
That's a good book. I've never read it, but I've heard good things.
Now, there's two movie theaters in town. Which one's better?
I like Majestic. It's closer to my house.
Okay. I like Majestic. I think the seats are better.
Seats are 100% better.
But we have a friend who we just spoke about, Matt, big movie guy.
But the mall sucks, so.
He says the mall has bigger screens.
So, I mean,
if you're in the sixth row, it don't matter.
Right, if you sit up front, it doesn't matter.
I guess so. I don't know.
I guess, six one, half dozen the other.
Yeah.
But I can ride my bike to the Majestic. I'm not riding my bike out to the mall.
Okay.
And they serve beer at Majestic.
They do now. It's awesome.
Yeah.
They get stars in there soon.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Our AMC here doesn't. No. The one in Palm Bay does. That's right.
All right. Favorite genre of music?
Americana folk.
I like it. Okay. Who do you like?
I've been actually listening to a lot of Yonder Mountain String Band and Traveling McCurry's. I've actually been listening to a lot of Afro Man in the last couple of weeks, but that's just way out there.
Okay. Because I got high?
That's my least favorite song on that album.
Okay.
But don't ask me why. One of his songs popped in my head about a week ago, and I can't stop.
What was the first two you said?
Yonder Mountain String Band, but only their live stuff. And the Traveling McCurry's. Don't ask me to spell that. And the band called Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Good stuff.
I can't name Americana bands, but I do like that genre of music.
So I do too. That's why I asked.
Is Mumford considered that or no?
They'd be in there.
What about Judah and the Lion? You put them in there?
I don't know who that is.
It's excellent.
Okay.
I feel like they're a mix because some of their songs are a little more... I don't know how to explain it because you introduced me to them.
Yeah.
And I listen to a lot of Jimmy Buffett and Willie Nelson. So
yeah.
Willie Nelson's coming to Melbourne.
I know. His tickets are retarded.
Are they really?
It's like $120 a
what?
Seat.
What? For what, King Center?
I mean, I'll say this. I'm King assuming. Center does not have a bad seat.
No, I know, but still, you know, you take the wife, you go out to dinner, you have a $400 night.
Yeah, it's true.
That's just tough true. To go out.
I'm with you because like me, my wife, and my son, we're going to go see Bruno Mars. And I know what you're thinking, Jeremy. We were going to go watch Bruno Mars, and it was going to be like $1,000 yeah, just for silly. Tickets.
And those weren't good seats.
No, and they were bad seats. And I was like, I can't.
The $100 seats.
You could just fly to Vegas and see them probably cheaper.
Exactly.
The $100 seats at Willie Nelson are like top tier. That's not up front.
That's like back row.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's wow. crazy.
Yeah, because if you're going to go see him too, it's like.
You probably want the.
He comes through every year. He's going to until he dies.
Okay.
Wouldn't you, though, if you could sell out a place at $100 for a crappy seat? I'd be like, yeah.
I own a for-profit business.
Yeah.
So, yes, the answer is. But by the way, Jose Feliciano loves Hiram's. That's his favorite spot in the world, he says.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, so me neither.
I don't know who that is.
Feliz Navidad.
I was going to try to fake it out, but I was like, I don't know.
Hey, I just went right out there, guys.
The guy that sings Feliz Navidad.
Okay. Oh, okay. He's going to Hiram's?
He comes around Christmas time.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Anyway, sorry.
Me neither. All right. Back to the gauntlet. What do you drive?
Tundra. Toyota Tundra.
Nice. That's my next truck. That's the upgrade.
I'm ready to go to a Tacoma, actually.
He just got a Tacoma. I want to get the Tundra. Why? Yeah, explain.
I had a Corolla, good my first car. Then I had a 4Runner, 98 4Runner. And now I have my Tacoma. That's it. I've had three cars. I'm almost 40.
That's pretty impressive.
I miss my 4Runner so much. But the reason I got rid of my 4Runner, so I had a bed. So the Tacoma is like best of both worlds.
So
you're going to regret it so bad? You're going to regret it?
You're not. Corey's talking shit because I just got a Tacoma.
You're going to regret it so bad.
He's a Chevy guy too.
My other truck pulled so much more and there was so much more room.
I have a V6 Tacoma or a Tundra. So it doesn't pull shit.
I'm sorry. but you're still going to be like, oh my gosh, there was so much more room. And listen, I drive a small truck. My wife drives a big truck.
My kids are out of the house, dude.
Yeah, but it's like when I get in the big truck, I'm like, I can.
What are you doing with your shoulders there?
Spread out.
I need to understand what you're doing.
Hey, best line of the night. Yeah. Hey, I drive a small truck. My wife drives a big truck.
I have a serious case of ILS.
And oh, that's
invisible lat syndrome, you know, when guys walk around this.
That's
rough, man.
It's ILS.
It's a serious condition. All right. me and Larry ILS-less. Are trying to start.
Is that similar to little man syndrome?
No, not the same, because big dudes get this too.
Yeah, they do. It's true.
It's fair.
It goes all across the board, you know? So me and Larry are trying to start a foundation because these guys need help.
They do need help.
You know, they walk around like they're jacked, and you just like, dude, you don't need to have your arms out that much.
No, it's okay to be your size.
Mine go out, but it's because I've gotten a little bit extra underneath lately. Like, it's not the same. It's not from working out, per se. All right.
Back on track.
So, all right. Reservation or just walk in?
Walk in.
Right on. Favorite type of food?
I'm really into pot roast right now.
Oh, that is so random.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Like
crock right, pot.
So, yeah.
No, okay. I don't use a crock pot. Okay. That's for people who don't know how to cook.
Right. Oh.
I put my pot roast in a crock pot.
So
I do too. Because
okay. So let me rephrase that. I'm into braised meats.
Okay.
Okay.
So I love to cook.
I feel like you went up a level there from
you love to
pot roast to braised meats.
Well, I'm a brewer. I cook for a living.
Great point.
It's just not food. It's beer. It's cooking. It's the same idea. Sure. You write a recipe, follow a recipe, you go through it, you end up with a product at the end. Cooking is where I started. I started cooking when I was a teenager because I had to. And then I got into beer, and it's the same idea. You know, you're writing a recipe and you're following through with it and you're making something that's delicious. And I love braised meats. Like, I'm actually coming up with working on a restaurant concept that only is chuck roast. That's it.
Okay.
100%.
So name of the restaurant?
I don't know.
Not yet. Okay. Sometimes you have that ahead of time.
What chuck wagon. What the chuck?
Yeah, that's good.
Chuck wagon?
Yeah. That's where they used to eat around the chuck wagon. Now, how do you make your pot roast? I know it's random information.
No,
that's fair. That's where we're going.
You know, it depends on what's ethnicity of cooking they want. If you want to end up with tacos, or if you want to end up with like a French base or an Italian base, you know, it depends on what you're doing with the meat and the product after. So, you know, you start out with, you always sear your meat, and then you go in, you do your onions, your celery, your carrots, if you're going like traditional. You know, if you're doing, going for a Mexican, then it's, you know, it's the Holy Trinity. It's onions or white onions, and then green peppers, garlic, and you add a little bit of tomato, and, you know, you go from there. But it's all done in a cast iron Dutch oven. You do it on the stovetop, then it goes in the oven.
So you sear it on the cast iron on the stovetop?
Yeah, you sear your meat, you take it out, you do all your vegetables, you put all your spices in, you put your meat back in your broth or liquid, and then it goes in the oven at 315 for like 3 or 4 hours until everything's nice and soft. And then you can make shredded beef, you can do, you know, whole big chunks.
I mean, it does sound awesome.
And it's, I'm about to try something. It's not much work. It just takes a long time.
Yeah.
But you end up with this really delicious meal, and you can put it over rice, you can put it with mashed potatoes, you can put it with anything you want. And I can't stop.
I can see people going to that restaurant, like with different options, but the similar plate.
It's all
but
based off the
flavors.
Same idea.
But yeah.
And I got a sous vide for Christmas, and that's just.
I was going to ask you about that. Like what do you, that was actually like on tip of my tongue. What do you think of sous vide?
It is the best roast beef I've ever made or eaten in my life.
How long did that take?
It depends on how many pounds you have, but a 3.5 pound roast beef, 10 to 12 hours.
Makes sense.
But it's 5 minutes worth of work.
Right. You just throw in the bag and
sear
go.
Sear it. Throw it in the bag with some spices.
Oh, you sear it first.
Sounds like
walk away for 10 hours, take it out, slice it in half.
Sounds like a crock pot in a bag.
It is.
I'm just kidding.
Well, that's why I said it makes sense. Because like, if you crock pot it, you typically would want to, unless if you're just going to shred it, no big deal. But if you're going to, then you'd want to sear it.
The problem with crock pots is flavor development's difficult.
I'm just fucking with you.
But that's okay.
My wife makes a roast. It's called a Mississippi roast or something.
I think I've tasted that's.
And
I've had
it's excellent.
Good.
But she puts like ranch dressing packet and like au jus like packet or something and peppercinis and it doesn't
very
sound,
60s of you.
It doesn't sound good, but because when she first was gonna make it, I was like, this ain't gonna be good. And she made it probably a couple years ago, but we probably eat it twice a month now.
Yeah, I made a Martha Stewart recipe. Pot roast, but it was like had like wine in it. It was so good.
I never make the same thing twice.
No.
Oh, I'm
it's too boring.
Just whatever I felt like that day.
Yeah.
I did one a couple days
ago. Yeah. Right, so on. Yeah, the Martha Stewart one's fantastic. Yeah.
Larry's our head chef around here.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you smoke like meat?
Oh, like yeah.
Barbecue? Yep.
Yeah. Mike, next time I make a brisket, I'm bringing it over.
Okay.
To the walking tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've only done one brisket and I screwed it up.
I'm not gonna lie. I've had a few. Him and my buddy Tom, they do a pretty good
We've been to Austin and had what I think is the best.
The Mecca. Yeah.
I could agree
that. Are you smoking it?
Yeah.
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 Only way to do it. Yeah. So what I'll do is I make ribs. I'll smoke ribs and I'll
beef
smoke
ribs.
Beef ribs.
Larry doesn't believe in pork.
I don't. And I'll also make brisket and you know, I can do that pretty good. And yeah, next time I'll make it, I'll bring you some to the brewery.
I'll take some.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
What kind of smoker?
Honestly, like, so right now, Corey's in the process of building us one right now.
Okay.
Abnormally way too large for whatever we're going to ever cook.
Stop it.
Of course.
No, for now.
We can show him afterwards.
Yeah.
But basically, he's building us one. However, right now, we're using a Sam's version of the green egg.
I have a Lowe's version of the green egg called an acorn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, so do I. I have a Vision Grill. It's called Vision Grills.
Is that the Sam's for?
Yeah,
that
is. Okay. That's one. Yours is ceramic, right?
Yep.
Mine's steel.
Okay, yep. Ours is ceramic, and we have a setup where the way I do it typically is I'll put like a flower pot or something in the middle, and I'll build my coals around it, so in a circle. I'll light it up on one side, and it just kind of slowly catches on fire. In a circle.
That's a really good idea.
And then I use my bottom grate and I put a pizza stone right there to deflect the heat and just create smoke. It's good stuff.
It does well.
Yeah,
I like
the flower pot idea.
Yeah.
So I have two more questions in the gauntlet. That might be the new record. I'm just saying it's okay though. The city you live in.
Vero Beach.
Right on. And last question, beer, whiskey, or wine?
Normally it's beer first and then it's wine. And then we normally go to whiskey at the end of the night.
Okay.
So you do all three, just kind of go through them. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So Mike, what do you know about making wine?
I have never made wine.
Okay.
But I have a good understanding of it.
All right. So we interviewed a guy.
Yes, last week.
Last week.
Jeremy missed it.
And he talked about making wine. And he says all that he needs. What does he need, Corey? He needs
sugar, yeast, and something else. He has a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Excellent YouTube channel.
Yeah, but what is he using for like container? He's using a container and
a gallon jug.
Oh, like the air burper thing or something.
And that's all he needs.
So that's called hooch.
Yeah, it is.
Making wine is an art. And winemakers aren't just people who are making wine. They're farmers. Real winemakers have a farm and they grow grapes. And they get one shot a year at making their product. Us brewers have it easy. I can buy grain from all over the world and make styles from anywhere I want. When you're a winemaker, a real winemaker, you have your vineyard in your backyard. You grow those grapes, and it depends on the weather and how well you grow those to end up how good of product you have. It is one of the most difficult things in the world to do. So, and we all have great respect for true winemakers.
Yeah.
Now, you can go buy grape concentrate and water it down and throw some sugar in there and ferment it and call it wine.
No, this guy's like putting refried beans.
So, but true winemakers are farmers first.
Okay.
And we don't have to do that as brewers, thankfully.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I could see that though, because you're right. I mean, when you think about a real, like a vineyard and whatnot, like it's not just that one little product. It was the process from beginning to end. And,
yeah. And you get one shot a year.
Weather comes into play. You're legit farming there.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you know more than anybody else in this room about wine. Why do they serve the port wine in the little tiny glass?
Because port wine is really high alcohol most of the time.
And it's so delicious.
And it's also the sweetest, which you'd probably appreciate because you have
I think it's good. It depends, right? Because like my wife had one that I brought her. And she didn't like it.
Okay.
She didn't like it. But then we went on a cruise and she's like, that's really good wine.
Yes.
I want some more of that.
And I was on this cruise with them. And I just want to point out, Larry was like, when I asked them, why do they give that little girly glass? He said, I don't know.
Because it's like 16-17% alcohol.
Oh, they got them to give them in a regular glass.
Oh, yeah, you can.
On a cruise, they're going to give you anything.
Yeah.
You can crush a whole bottle of port if you want.
Yeah, that's what they did.
I'll yell at you in the morning. Yeah.
it was a good time.
I was there.
It was a good time.
I've done it. I love port.
At the very end of that night, we had glasses, like a full like glass of just straight Fireball with ice.
Yeah, and it was like a beer glass of Fireball.
No, I wish I'd have been there for that part.
Yeah, because our friend was like, because we kept on drinking, we kept on asking her for Fireball. She'd come back and she'd be like, hey, can we get another Fireball? And like finally, I think she just got tired of us.
She brought you a pint.
Yeah. 100%.
It's a good waitress.
Yeah, it's a great waitress, right?
Yeah.
So,
and then the next time we said, can you bring two of those?
Can I just have a bottle of Fireball, please?
Yes.
The handle, please. The handle.
Oh, it was a good time. But anyways, Mike, so thank you for joining us. And we're finally past the Gorilla Gauntlet at 16 minutes. So you're the owner of Walking Tree?
I'm one of the owners and the head brewer.
Okay.
How many owners are there?
Sorry. There's five of us.
Five?
Okay. So how did that come into play? Like how did that happen?
So I was working a job that did not thrill me.
Okay.
I used to run a lumber yard in Fort Pierce. And I was homebrewing at the time. And, you know, every homebrewer's dream is to open a brewery. Because, I can do my hobby and make money. That was my mindset, and I met my business partner, Alan Drittenbass, in 2012, and he was at his job, who he was bored also, and he was homebrewing and wanted to open a brewery. He was actually involved with Alden Bing, who owns Orchid Island, and they were starting to talk about making Orchid happen, and then I became, you know, I met them, and we all started brewing together, and eventually Alden went his own way, and Alan and I wanted to open a production facility. And, you know, so we lied to our wives and told them we were writing business plans and used to go drinking a lot. And then
research.
We actually did write a business plan. And then we found the building we're in. And we had most of the business plan. And his dad, Paul, was on board. He's like, when we saw the building, he was like, this is a great spot. Let's make this happen. And we needed, we were both 32. I was 33. He was 32 at the time. And we needed $1.4 million to open our brewery. And no one's loaning that to a 32 and 33 year old.
That's a hard sell.
Well, it's the that and you have, oh, what's your commercial brewing experience? Oh, I'm a home brewer. I do it in my garage.
Yeah.
Oh, well, are you going to be able to sell your beer? Of course we can. You know, so it was tough. So we had to bring in a couple extra partners. And that's, you know, that's how we ended up with five, is we needed other people who had money and a business reputation to get a loan.
So how did you find the partners? If you don't mind my asking.
They were friends of friends and associates, and most of them came from Paul Allen's dad. It was actually one of his best friend's son was one of our partners, and then one of the guys that Allen went to high school was one also.
Okay.
So did you guys buy that building then, or are you renting it?
Unfortunately, we couldn't buy it. So the building sits on airport property.
Okay.
And since it's city-owned property and it's on the airport district, the federal government, the FAA, will not allow them to sell property in an airport district for national security reasons. Okay. So we are in a long-term lease. We have a 40-year lease on the building.
Okay.
Wow. And there's a good history behind that building. I know we took a tour with you.
Really cool building.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a maintenance nightmare, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Well, how so?
It's 24,000 square feet of a 70-year-old building.
I think the coolest part, honestly, for me is going in and seeing those huge wood rafters. Because a modern building, that would all be steel.
And you know what the funniest part about that is once a week, I get asked, wow, did you guys put in all these rafters? Still, to this day, it happens all the time. I'm like, no, they hold the building up. Like, seriously? People think we put them in for show.
Yeah, no, that's the kind of cool that you can't, like, repop.
No, you can't. I mean, it was built in the 40s by the Navy, and the reason it's all wood is because steel was such a commodity during World War II that they couldn't waste steel on building a building, so they made it out of wood and reinforced it with steel.
Yeah.
But buildings aren't built like that in Florida, because that wood came from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
It's all Douglas fir. So they trained it down here and built that building.
That's crazy if you think when you put it that to perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So was it a hard sell to sell your vision? Like, how did that work, right? So you're building out your business plan. How long did it take to build your business plan?
We started writing it in the end of 2012. We took the building over in the middle of 14. So year and a half.
So year and a half, you took over the building. How long before you opened?
Almost 2 years.
Oh, that's brutal, right?
Actually, it was 2 years and a month.
Were you still working at this point?
So I quit my job at the lumber yard in the end of 13. It was September of 2013. I quit because the brewery seemed like it was close enough to get going.
Yeah.
And I knew that Alan couldn't leave his job and that if I didn't, it would always just be a dream. So my wife was cool and she's like, well, just quit and we'll figure it out and we'll get this going. So I went 14 months without a paycheck. Cool. And I'm a wood turner. So I make like wood bowls and that kind of stuff on my lathe. Cool. And my wife's an artist too. So we were doing art shows and selling art on like the side of the road basically for a year and a half while the brewery was getting started.
Do you make YouTube videos of turning wood bowls?
No, I have no interest in being on video.
Oh, man, I watch them. It's mesmerizing to me when they're turning the wood.
Corey's seen it all.
And I don't have any interest in doing it. I just watch somebody make a wood bowl.
It's so therapeutic and awesome. Like, I wish that I had time.
It's therapeutic for me to watch it, so I can imagine actually doing
it. I've probably turned my lathe on 3 times in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
It's just covered in dust that's not wood dust.
Mine, I have a metal lathe and it's covered in everything, but...
This might sound like a dumb question, but when you turn in, like, it's like where you put the both ends and then you have like the bar and you put there and it's kind of turning and you're kind of carving into it.
Yeah. So
like
it's kind of
where
you
make
a
candle.
You know, it's a big long tool and you hold it
and it
move it around.
Move it around and it's going to cause. Okay.
For those of you listening, Jeremy is making a lot of
hand motions.
Hands motions.
I knew what you were talking about.
Gentilia.
You were very close.
Visible things that you guys can't see on the radio. So.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
it's fair. Just either way, I know what we're talking about now.
All right.
So win all for me.
All right. So 14 months without a paycheck, and your wife's like, "Yeah, it's cool, whatever." All right,
so at month four, are you freaking out?
No, month four was not too bad. Month 10 was
You're like, getting rough. Shit.
So what was the roughest part?
So we had talked to a bank, not a local, but a larger bank. And, you know, we told them what we were going to do. We gave them a business plan. We showed them the building that we wanted to rent. And we were going to try to get an SBA loan, Small Business Association. And they were like, well, first you have to actually rent the building before we can close the loan. Okay.
So that makes sense.
We negotiated with the city and we got our lease and we paid our building rent for 30 years up front, $80,000. And they were like, cool, you guys are good. You're going to get SBA approval. You'll have money in 90 days. This is at 1 month, like seven. So 90 days goes by and we get our SBA approval. And 2 days later, the bank sent us a letter that says, oh, by the way, sorry, we don't finance guns or alcohol. Have a nice day.
Holy shit.
And, you know, we had Trevor McKnight, the guy that owns Smoke Inn here in Vero. Mm-hmm. And he said when he was, I mean, what did he say, 18 months, he was trying to get a loan.
And nobody would.
Nobody would finance tobacco or alcohol. Or
11 firearms. Months or 11 banks later,
yeah,
we found a bank that was on board. They had just come to town. It was TD. And they're like, we need a big loan in Vero. You guys are in it, and we're going to make it happen. And the way the original bank set up our SBA was not the right way. And it ended up our paperwork sitting on a desk of a lady that works for the SBA for the government in Washington. For 3 months, it sat on her desk. We had to call our congressman.
Hey.
And the congressman sent a letter, and it got approved 2 weeks later.
What congressman?
Bill Posey.
Do you still vote for him?
I didn't last time.
Oh.
He's my congressman. I have to use him. That doesn't mean I
that's have fair. To vote for him. Hey? You know? That's fair. He still represents you.
Yeah. He does.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You know, but I tell people.
It made it move.
I tell people this all the time. Like, they don't realize how much, because so many people don't contact the congressman. And it does work.
It does work.
When you need something to get done. Like, I've used my congressman a couple of times.
Yeah. If you need something done with the federal government, call your congressman. That's their job.
Yeah.
Huh. I honestly, that would not have crossed my mind.
It didn't cross mine either. That was one of my partners.
I would have just been pissed, like sitting there and be like, why aren't you approving my shit? Just get it going.
But yeah, so 9 months after we rented the building, we got funded. So I'd been doing demo there on my own dime. And, you know, we had a lot of demo to do. It took months and months. And I took 70,000 pounds of drywall out of that building.
I can't.
It was
imagine.
A good time.
I don't think it was.
What did they have drywalled?
So right now the building's all the way open. You can see from one side of the other. There used to be a wall that ran the center. It was built in the early 80s. And it was wood stud with two sheets of 5/8 drywall on each side. So I tore that wall down by myself.
So why or what was it being used for before the brewery?
So after the war, they deeded it back to the city. And Pennzoil was in there for a while. There was an ice plant there. There was a storage facility there. It's been numerous tenants. But most recently, it was a roofing company on the side where the brew house is. And then on the other side, it was an appliance repair center. It's Brandt's that's now on US-1.
Oh, okay.
So they were both there. The roofing company was there for like 20 years. But they split the building because it's huge and no one ever wanted to rent the whole place.
Thing.
So they made it into actually three areas. And the roofing supply had one half and then like a little bit in the back. And then the appliance place had the front, like where our tasting room is now.
Okay.
So when we took it over, we were going to use the whole building. And the wall was beat to shit and terrible looking.
Yeah.
So we tore it all out and all the office space that was built. And it was a lot of work.
So did you guys build out those little rooms in the front there, or were those already built out?
So we're like our private room and our offices is block, and that's the only original building inside of it.
Okay.
Nice.
So at 14 months, you finally get the...
Yep.
The paperwork passed for the loan.
For
the SBA loan.
It was about 9 months after
that was nine
we rented the building.
Okay.
But that was about 14 months after I'd left my job. So we had budgeted enough into our loan and the capital that we borrowed to start paying me.
Yeah. How long from when you get the loan to opening the doors?
Year and a half.
Oh, jeez.
16 months, something like that.
Now, and what took so long there?
Yeah.
We had to do 100% new plumbing, 100% new electrical. We had to tear out, you know, thousands of square foot of floors. We had to install all of the equipment. And we had a GC that was friends.
Okay.
So they weren't really in charge. They let us do a lot of our own stuff. So we did the majority of the build out ourselves to save money.
Yeah.
Because the city leased it to us as is.
Yeah.
They didn't drop a dime. So, you know, all of the painting and everything had to be done by us. And it just took a long ass time.
So there was no, was there any real holdups with like licensing or permits or anything like that?
Thankfully, our federal licensing was done about a month and a half before we started brewing. Okay. It took, you know, 4 months.
Yeah,
you have to be pretty close before you can even apply.
So okay. if I wanted to start a brewery, not to rival you.
Don't.
but if I want to, you know, if I did want to, and what would be the first step, right? It's like, would I go to the city and?
Yeah, I mean, first, you know, you find your space, you go to the city, you make sure it's zoned right, that you can actually put a manufacturing facility there that also has, you know, a wet area, and wet means you can serve alcohol, and make sure that you're in the right place first. And then, you know, whoever is an owner has to have a clean record. They can't have any kind of alcohol violations on their record ever. Because they go through really tough.
Is that like a DUI or something like that? Would that disqualify you or no?
I'm not sure if a DUI would, but if you had owned a business that was selling alcohol and got cited for doing something illegal or not paying taxes, all the federal and the state government care about is that you pay your dollars per gallon to them.
I gotcha.
And they really care about it.
Now, do you guys distribute too?
Yes, we distribute.
See, you guys went big, right? Because there's some smaller breweries even in town that, I mean, you guys got a huge facility. I mean, I guess, how much do you guys brew?
So this past year we made just shy of 1,800 barrels.
Okay.
A barrel's 31 gallons. So you can do that math. I can't tell you that off the top of my head. So we make a lot of beer. But in the grand scheme of things, we don't really make a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Like Cigar City on the West Coast, you guys have heard of them.
Yeah.
Their Tampa facility does 120,000 barrels a year. Just to give you a little perspective.
Okay. And you guys did 180?
1,700.
Oh, so, I'm sorry.
1,800, sorry.
1,800, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So do you guys have, like, was that a goal that you guys had? Or did you know how much you wanted to brew? Did you meet your goals? Did you fall under them?
We're a little behind on our goals of production. We're working on putting a canning line in, and that's the next step to really get out into the market. The normal beer market is 70-30, 70% package, 30% draft. Okay. The 30% of the beer drank is, you know, at a bar or restaurant or a tasting room. And then the other 70% is in a can or bottle at your house.
Yeah, wherever. We just went today and got two, what do you call them?
Crowlers.
Crowlers. But they can them right on the spot.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, which by the way, is fantastic because it's...
Is it fresh?
It's
does
fresh.
It taste different?
It does.
Tastes delicious.
Yeah, I have a perspective. White IPA, Jeremy's sipping on a sandy feet.
And I have a pool day.
Pool day.
Which is American Pale Ale.
So you don't, that's the only can you guys sell right now, right?
Currently, yes.
So you're working on putting a canning line in?
Yes, sir.
And how does it work with the distribution in Florida?
So Florida's terrible.
Yeah, that's what I...
Yeah, I think me and Corey are on the same page on this. Go ahead.
So we're a three-tiered state. And it's three-tier only, which means there's a manufacturer, like we are, there's a distributor, and there's a retailer. There is no business done between the manufacturer and the retailer. You must use that third party, which is mandated by the state.
Why?
Well, it goes back to Prohibition and before Prohibition, and there was a lot of, they called them tied houses. So a brewery would come into a town and say, hey, you're a bar owner. I'm going to put in your refrigeration. I'm going to buy all of your tables and chairs, and I'm going to outfit your bar, but you can only sell our beer. And it was a way to monopolize small towns and stuff like that. And so after Prohibition, they created the three-tier system that the beer manufacturer and the retailer didn't do business together, and they put an intermediate party to keep that from happening.
Now, could anybody be a distributor, or do you have to have like...
You just have to apply for a license and get one.
Okay.
I can't be a distributor because I own a manufacturer.
So
you can.
Now, set their own prices, like their own markup, or do you set the markup
the distributor makes? So the standard in the industry is 30%.
The distributor makes 30%.
Yep.
So, Jesus Christ, we don't need to open a brewery. We need to be distributors.
Yeah, Mike, we'll be your exclusive brewer, distributors.
I wish that would actually work, but you know, we've signed with two distributors
yeah.
that take up about half of Florida.
Okay.
So they
that's
have
actually smarter than going. We can guys. Never get out of those contracts.
What do you mean never? Like
never. They would have to release us. So there's buyout terms in one of our contracts. It's 100 times our annual sales with them.
Oh.
So for me to buy out that contract would be like
so I need
$1.2 million.
I would need you to stop brewing for a year or two.
You have to close.
Hear me out.
You have to close your LLC. Yeah. You got to close your company down and open as a new name. Okay. And you can change distributors.
All right. Hear me out, Mike.
So not
walking trees.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. No. Yeah, because we'd be great at this. We're pretty much killing
everything
else in life.
But that's interesting, though, because like I know they're trying, like, jokingly, but like you're really stuck. Like, will it ever get to a point where it would benefit you to kind of close out and reopen? If even, I don't even know the time frame.
So
of that, like
at the point, no. I mean, the two companies we work with are fantastic. Okay. So they do a really good job, and they provide us a service. It's not like they're just some hobo.
Right.
JJ Taylor, who's this area, distributes in 17 counties in Florida, and they have three warehouses: one here in Fort Pierce, one in Tampa, and one in Fort Myers. They have refrigerated trucks. They have an AR AP department. They have a giant sales force, and they sell Miller Coors. So they have all the accounts already. It's not like it's some random dude that's going out and trying to sell beer to a local bar. They already sell beer to that bar.
So does it almost like did they come to you or did you have to go to them? And almost like if you're getting drafted, we want to go with these guys.
It was a little bit like that. I mean, we were courted by all three distributors in this local area. They all came to us and wanted to set meetings because we were opening a bigger brewery that we had the distribution capacity and we had a reputation for making good beer right off the bat. So they came to us and they were fighting for us.
On the flip side of that though, Mike, so they have all these beers that they distribute for. Are you afraid that yours gets put on the back burner?
That is always a concern, but we have our own sales staff. So I have two full-time sales guys that are out in the market selling for us.
Okay.
The problem is, and it's just ridiculous, is that my salesperson can't actually close a sale.
They have to go to the distributor.
They have to. They walk into a bar and say, hey, this is White Walking Tree. And the bar owner loves it and goes, oh, I'd love to purchase that. And they go, oh, cool. You have to call George, who works for JJ Taylor, and he can place your order.
So does JJ Taylor give you a kickback on that sale then?
No.
So,
Seems very backwards.
Here's what I will say.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It is weird. I do appreciate, though, that a lot of the local restaurants have your beer.
I appreciate it also.
Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. But like going to Carrabba's, right? Yeah. They actually have the white IPA.
They were one of our first customers.
Yes. Yeah. I think from what I saw, that they were one of the first ones that I saw.
Oh, I feel like it's a
Chronic has you as well.
Especially White Walking Tree. It's a hot commodity because there's a few places I've gone and they like sell out. I'm like, oh, damn. Like I wanted it.
So the only reason they're selling out is because they're not smart enough to order.
No, I agree. I'm not. Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. They should just keep ordering. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking for Mike, yeah, they should keep ordering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Order 100%. Two instead of
but
one.
It also speaks to the quality of beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it's going quick.
Yeah. The white. So I have a buddy of mine who Tom, right? Mm-hmm. He's like almost like done with beer, except for this one.
It's a good beer.
Yeah. It really is.
I bet I've had 2 pints in the last year of it.
Yeah.
You don't drink it that much anymore? Is it just because it's the original one or?
I like to drink beer.
Yeah.
And 7.1% does not allow me to drink 4 or 5
beers.
No,
you can't.
Okay.
Like right now, I'm feeling it pretty good.
Yeah, you'll be blackout.
And what is Sandy Feet?
It's not as much.
So Sandy Feet is, I started brewing that as a beach beer.
6.4.
Originally when I was a home brewer. And it's 6.4%. It's American wheat beer. It's like a pale ale or American pale ale, but it's 40% wheat. So it gives you that nice wheaty flavor. And then we hop it with a hop called Crystal. Gives you all that fruity melon flavor, and it's just a all around good beer. That's one of the only beers that I haven't changed the recipe since we opened.
Really?
Okay.
It's definitely like a refreshing beer. It's really
delicious. It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
This goes back to something you were saying earlier. I wanted to ask, but I didn't want to interrupt at the time. Like when you say you're always working with recipes, like when you think of something new, something you want to try, like what's the process there? Mindset, and then from mindset to actual put into play to, I want to try this out. I'm going to give it a go with a small batch or something like that.
So, I mean, it's a lot of research, most of the time I'm thinking of a style, like I want to make a Bock, or I want to make a like a Czech Pils, or, you know, so you taste one, you have one from somebody else, you're like, man, I really like that beer. I want to recreate something that's similar. And then you start doing research into the style. And most beer styles have some historical background. They were making that beer because that's the ingredients were available to them in whatever region of the world they were in. What was their water quality like? What hops were available to them? And you do all that research. And then you look at a handful of other people who have made recipes that are similar. And you look at their recipes if they're available. And you kind of melt it into what you think the beer is going to taste like, and then you try it and you hope that it turns out good.
So being that we're full gorilla, we mess around with like a banana beer, like not a, from a scratch in the bucket, but like a hint of banana into like a Heffenweiser type feel or something like that.
Well, the yeast should provide that if you ferment it a little warm.
Okay. But that was something that I was just curious on, the process from start to finish. So do some research. I like it.
Yeah. It's all about research. I mean, if you're trying to brew two style, which, you know, I like winning medals in beer competitions. And if you're not brewing to a particular style, you're never going to win a medal. Like Sandy Feet will never win a medal. It's a great beer, but it doesn't fit a style guideline at all. Like it's in between, and it just doesn't make sense for an American pale ale or an American wheat beer.
It's its own thing.
It's its own thing.
Stouts are what win, right?
It depends.
It's a mutt styles.
Then. It is a mutt of styles. Okay. That doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's not two styles.
It's not bad at all.
Particular kind.
So you've won some medals?
I've won some medals.
Okay. Any regrets on, you guys obviously opened this huge facility, a big brewing. Any regrets on the business side of it, or anything you would have done differently, or would you do it all again?
I'd do it all again.
Okay.
You know, I'd never run a business 100%. I ran a lumber yard, but I was one location of eight. So I didn't run the back end business side of it. And having some more just business experience would have been really nice. I learned a lot in 4 years.
Well, and it's different,
hey,
right?
Trial by fire, though.
Yeah. And it's different too, in the sense that, so when you're an owner, it's more than just being a manager, because now you are in charge of marketing, you're in charge of finances, you know, and it's different than scheduling
out. It's your money.
It's your money. It's just different. So there's a lot to it. So what would you say, in your opinion, right? Because you just kind of alluded to that. What is the biggest like thing that you wish that you would have known?
I think open communication is one of the things that I've never been awesome at. Like if I'm having an issue with something and not bringing it to your business partners or your employees or your spouse or whatever, and just kind of holding on to something until it really makes you frustrated, is one of the things I regret the most.
Okay.
Because once you start talking about those things, it's so much easier to work through them instead of just fretting over them and making yourself angry.
You don't know how easy the problem can be solved if you don't talk 100%. About the problem.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It might be a nightmare, but you don't know that until you start trying to solve it.
And if you would have said something 3 months ago when it first started bothering you, it wouldn't have bothered you for three more months. You guys could have fixed it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you did in the end of it. You're like, oh, well, I'll just stop doing that. Like, oh, okay, cool.
So does your wife work at the brewery too?
She does.
Okay. How's that?
It's good.
Okay.
It's good.
That's not an obligation as good?
No, I mean,
you don't have to tell her what podcast this was.
It's tough not to bring it home.
Yeah.
And I put my foot down a lot. I'm like, hey, stop it. We're not at the brewery. Like, shut up. I don't want it. You can talk to me. We have a meeting on Monday at 10 a.m. And if you have something to say, like, write it down and tell me that.
Okay. I can respect that, because you want to compartmentalize.
We have to balance life out of work and then work.
Saturday at 3:00 when we're hanging out on the back porch, I don't want to hear about an issue you had with a distributor or an employee or a vendor. Like, seriously? Like, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's one of the hardest parts is – yeah, compartmentalizing, just keeping the business out of our private life so that we can have a good time together.
Yeah.
Now there's five owners, and you're the head brewer. Like, are there any like silent partners types, or that is kind of the, or is everybody kind of have their own kind of oversee their own piece of the business?
So we have like a board of directors, and that's the owners.
Okay.
And then I run the business. So no one else that is an owner works there.
Okay.
They all have other jobs and do other things.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So I mean, how's that going with five owners? Are they happy with it so far? Are they frustrated or
both?
Both. That's understandable.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're going
to
make,
our ups and downs. You know, it's like being married to five people. It sucks some days and it's great others.
Yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense.
So now that you have these distributors already set up and they are only distributing kegs right now, I assume, right?
Yes, sir.
So when are they going to start distributing cans?
As soon as I buy a canning line.
Okay.
What does that entail?
Money.
It seemed like I went and got a can today.
Right.
So
right.
If I saw a four pack of these in the grocery store, I'm in.
So these are seamed one at a time at the bar. You know, a canning line is 12 ounce cans, not 32s
or 16.
But I mean, we're going to do 12 because it just makes sense for so many more store shelves. And that's really what it comes down to.
Fair enough.
You can fit two 12 packs or, you know, 2 6 packs on top of each other, you know, three deep on a shelf. Where if you go to 16s, you can only put one. So you're going to get three on a shelf instead of six. Okay. So your stocking issues, there's so much research on it. But so the canning line will do 50 cans a minute, 12 ounce cans that we'll be able to put into cases and sell over the state. These you can't really do that with.
Yeah, no, it took him a couple minutes to fill. He did a great job.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
I mean, he was quick enough, though. I mean,
just, and you know, we talk about
hold him there till midnight.
How quick they fill, how the quality of the fill, how much oxygen it's picking up. I mean, there's a whole technical side of
why a canning line would be like a big expense.
Would you recommend crawler or a growler?
How thirsty are you?
Okay, wait. So for the layman, crawler.
So a crawler is a 32 ounce can that's seamed on site. A growler would be a 64 ounce glass bottle that has a resealable lid. So if you want 4 pints, you get a growler and you can put the lid back on it. But once you open it, you know, you got 24 hours to drink it.
That's what I was thinking because people tell me, no, it's fine. But I'm thinking I don't think it is.
It's also,
but I've never had a whole growler.
I feel like growler.
You've never drank a whole growler in one sitting?
I haven't.
Challenge accepted. We'll be all there. Right. We're going to do that.
It's four pints. I mean, it's not that much.
I feel like we live on the ocean. I feel like if you're a pirate, you definitely get the growler, right?
100%.
Because pirates drink out of glass
bottles. So, right. That's the cool thing about crawlers is you can bring them to the beach. You can bring them on the pool.
Agreed.
You can stash one in your backpack for a hike and then drink it and crush the can. Glass is heavy and shitty. I'm like, I have a little Yeti cooler.
Yeah.
I can fit one 64 ounce growler.
And it weighs 200 pounds.
I can fit 9 32 ounce crawlers in it.
Yeah. What? That's a big difference.
And I can fit this. That's crazy to think about. That doesn't even make sense to me.
I know. Well, that big glass awkward thing.
It's awkward. Because it's like fat and then it has like
the shape just takes away some of
it. But I can lay these down and stack three layers, three wide. And I can fit 64 ounces or whatever the hell 9 times 32 is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Learn that lesson.
No, that's a good point.
288.
Yeah.
Good job.
I was there.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a crawler.
No.
He's doing good math. Doing good math over there.
Good course over there being all sober.
So I didn't want to cup with this. I knew we were going to have to finish the whole thing.
I think for me personally, I think I give you props because I think five business partners is like,
it's got to be hard, right? Because like,
especially if you weren't, like if you didn't know these people before, and again, this is me personally just speaking, like if I was trying to get into business, you know, I have a hard enough time with these two guys, like, and I knew them and I kind of liked them.
So did you interview them?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
I mean, I asked him, what's your political leaning? Are you religious? I mean, we went all the way down to like, what kind of person are you? Because I knew that I'd have to deal with them for years.
I think that's
years
fair. This is like a life
it is,
altering leap. So you have to make sure they're on board the same way.
We had to borrow a lot of money and we're all stuck.
And it's fair to them too, right?
It is fair to them. And they reciprocated. Well, who are you? And why should I be in business with you? And, you know, and we have our ups and downs and sometimes we get along and sometimes we butt heads really hard and it's shitty and you get so angry. But then some days they're like, oh, that's a great idea. Thanks. Cool. Let's do that. Right on. So, you know, but they're business people too. And I know I'm not always right. most of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's good to have a good sounding board of people that own businesses and do things that aren't just making beer and, you know, and you learn from them.
Yeah. So I say it all the time, like that different perspective, especially, you know, it kind of boils down to the same thing of when people say you are who you hang out with.
Yeah, of course. Right.
And if you surround yourself with
Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
You're welcome, sorry, Corey. Yeah. You're welcome, yeah, Corey.
But if you actually like get to sound off with successful people as well as yourself, like that is huge.
Absolutely. And you know, I think about it, you know, would I want to own this place just me? Like I'm the sole owner and I get to make that final decision. I feel like I'd screw shit up without someone else to be like, hey, Mike, that's right. Not that wise.
Right. Because I would be like, oh, I'm always right. Shut up.
Yeah, we know.
Well, I think
right?
being where you're at with, you're the brewer, you're the recipe, the owner, and you have great ideas, but sometimes it's nice to get that other perspective or multiple perspectives and make sure it's actually a good business
someone looking
decision.
From the outside.
Because it might seem like a great idea and it might be great, but it might not be the best business decision in this case.
Right, of course.
You have to find the balance back and forth.
And there's a difference of being there every day and being caught up in the business.
Yeah.
And then being an owner that, you know, is there once a week and sees the overview and be like, oh, well, that doesn't make sense, you know, for the general scheme. But you're caught up in the minutia of it that you mm-hmm. just get off kilter.
So the name Walking Tree, where'd that come from?
So we homeschooled our kids, and years ago while I was unemployed and I was retired, I was technically retired. I didn't actually do any of this teaching. My wife and the kids were doing, Florida studies and they were learning about Seminole Indians and that kind of stuff. And she came across this article that the Seminole Indians used to refer to the red mangrove as the tree that walks. Because it does, you know, it moves and it grows and gets bigger. And,
yeah.
You know, it throws out those little prop roots or legs.
Yeah.
And we've been looking for a name and I wanted to call it Banjo Brewing Company. And everybody told me that this isn't North Carolina and that's not going to work. Now, granted, there's Bangin' Banjo Brewery down south and they do fantastically and no one gives a shit. But
I'll be honest. Walking Tree's much better.
I agree.
I think. I also think because of your location. Yeah. I mean, lined with mangroves.
It made
way more sense.
After we came up with that, I never brought up the banjo part again unless someone asked that because it's just a good story. But yeah, so we found that and, you know, we're always out on kayaks and we're in the mangroves and, you know, mangroves are what hold Florida here.
Yeah.
Without them, we'd wash away, right?
Yeah.
So it's a really good tie to the lagoon and our community and what we like to do. And no one had used that name, which is super good. So we ran with it. It worked. And, you know, my wife did all the design for our logo. We had really good advice from a guy who used to work for a distributor down south. And he said, don't put a tree in a circle and you'll do awesome.
Okay.
I could see that. Yeah. I feel like I've seen that multiple
have you
times.
Had any,
hundreds of times.
Have you had any Native Americans be like, oh, I know what Walking Tree means?
I should have.
Larry's actually like, what are you?
50% Native American.
50% Native American.
I just found out.
You should be like, check.
I'm part Cherokee.
Are you?
Yeah.
Now I did a whole ancestry. So here's the thing. So me and my wife, my son did an ancestry.com.
It's a great story.
Yeah. And my wife's always been told that she is Native American.
And she has and tan
she's dark.
Skin.
Yeah. She's like dark, mm-hmm. you know, black hair. And so I was like, yeah, definitely. I could see that.
And Larry was always told he was a Mexican.
Yeah. And so we went ahead. She was like, hey, let's do ancestry.com. I was like, okay, let's do it. So it was me, her, and my son. We're like, yeah, we'll just throw them in so you can see what the mix is.
Well, yeah, because it'd be nice to know if, like, well, not that, but, you know, if they say that you are one thing and she's another,
right,
and then, like, what are they going to say about him? Like,
exactly.
Is it going to match and be 50-50?
That's exactly it, right? Yeah. So we went ahead and did all
that
three.
That control.
Right. So we did all three, and I opened his first, and it said his is 26% Native American. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. So that means to me that Shay, my wife, is a Native American. So then I open my next and mine says 50% Native American. I was like, okay. So I look at hers and hers 26%. I'm sorry, 65% English. From
no,
England.
No Britain, Native American.
No, zero Native American. And I was like, okay.
And I don't know if you've ever done the DNA stuff or not. But
no, I'm not giving the government my DNA.
Yeah, well, you put a fake name. You don't match your name with the DNA. No.
Mm-hmm. My name is Steve.
And McQueen. You ship it. And you ship it from UPS. Okay. Shout out to UPS. But his is all like his whole ancestry is from like Texas.
Yeah.
Like mine, I'm Irish and Scottish.
Yeah, basically my family, like they're like, all right, we're traveling to Texas and then we're just going to stay here for like 200 years.
Yeah.
Cool.
We've traveled enough, guys.
Texas is nice.
Yeah. So his, like, it shows you a map of like where all your ancestors are from. And his is just like one blob in Texas. Mine is like Ireland, Scotland, Pennsylvania, like all over the place, you know? Yeah, his, like, all Native American.
Yeah, pretty much. You know,
I'd be curious, but I'm not that curious, I guess, that yeah. I would actually...
Yeah, you know, like, it bums me out because my grandpa was alive and my grandma was alive, and I should have just paid for theirs, honestly, because, like, I would love... Because my grandma was on my dad's side, and my grandpa was on my mom's side, and my mom had already passed, so it would have been cool to see what his
lineage was. Some fact-checking, yeah.
It just would have been awesome.
Yeah.
This would have been awesome. I personally wish I would have done it.
Yeah, I thought it was worth it. Just, I guess, something to pass on to my son, I guess. I don't really
know. Probably, but you're right. Don't commit any crimes.
Just kind of like nosy about my own self.
Yeah, just don't commit any crimes.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Yeah. And if you do, just go to Mexico. It's fine.
I think I'll go to
Canada. That's fair.
Yeah. Just bring beer with you. It's fine.
Nine of them in your Yeti.
Yeah. For sure.
You could.
But yeah.
2 days supply.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, as our last question that we have for our listeners, if you wouldn't mind answering, based on your experiences, what is one of the most important pieces of advice you can give to our listeners?
Drink more beer. No, I'll be a little more serious than that.
No, you can finish that one and then go more serious answer. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
I think, you know, I touched
on it before. More walking tree beer.
Yeah, more walking tree beer or beer in general. You know, just expand your palate a little bit and don't stick to one thing if you're drinking beer.
I have a question. Wait, this actually poses another question for me.
Sure. Jeez.
All right, so I have a friend of mine who only drinks Bud Light.
They're out like, there.
How can I convince him to try? Out there. How can I convince him to like try something different? Because like he actually came to, I brought him to Walking Tree. I was like, dude, we're going to check it out. And he tried the cider, and he liked the cider that you have. But that's the only thing I get him to
We don't make that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who makes it? Well, there you go, friend. That's not even Walking Tree.
The cider we serve is from Pierce Cider in Fort Pierce. They make great cider.
They do.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So you just have to force them. Just go there, be like, listen, this is what we're going to do. You're going to taste some beers and get a flight so you can get 5 different beers. And just let them take a couple sips, but just be like, hey, you have to take 3 sips. Just don't think of it. You're not comparing it to Bud Light. You know, it's like going to a restaurant and ordering something new. It's not a McDonald's cheeseburger. It's going to taste different.
Yeah.
And just, it's not the same thing. There's so many different beer styles and there's so much to learn about beer, and it has historical backgrounds, and I could go on for a half an hour, but just open up your mind a little bit and do something different. Beer's not just one thing. It's so many different things.
It took me a while. Like, I'm not a big IPA guy at all, but I've slowly, because they'll get them a lot, and I'll try it.
Yeah.
And most of them, I'm not a fan. But
I'm not a big IPA guy either.
There's been a couple that I've been like, that's not too bad.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Like, I was a Corona guy, a Bud Light guy, and Dos Equis guy for a long time. And traveling with people is what got me to try different beers. And now I appreciate beer, like almost all of them. Like almost all of them. Like
you don't have to like them to appreciate them either. No. I think going to different places, different regions, you get different styles, different tastes. I think that's kind of cool.
Exactly. But sorry, go ahead. Back to the original question.
Sure. One thing that I'd give advice to people is, and I touched on it earlier, and I think about it a lot because we've gone through it a lot, is talk about your issues with people. If you have an issue with someone, just bring it up. I know it sucks and I'm terrible at it. I am the worst. But just like, hey, man, this is bothering me. How can we fix it? And everything ends up being so much easier when you actually just voice your problems. And not in a mean way, but in a productive way. and just try to be productive about it. And especially in business, you know, this is my issue with why your opinion and my opinion don't match. And how can we come to something that makes everybody happy?
That's awesome. That's great advice. Total sense. Now, Mike, before we head out, where can folks find you, right? So whether it's at your business or on social media.
So you can go to walkingtreebrewery.com and check out our website. You can see all the beers we make. There's a link to see our menu that's on there all the time. You can see all our events. We have music 2 to 3 nights a week. Yeah. You can go to Facebook and find us, okay. Walking Tree Brewery. You can come to the brewery. It's 3209 Dodger Road, Vero Beach, Florida. I'm not going to give you my home address.
That's a good idea. Yeah, smart.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. By the way.
Especially Larry.
One last thing I wanted to ask you was, how is Tim Reynolds?
Tim Reynolds is awesome. And if you guys give me about 20 seconds.
Yeah, sure. Take it for five minutes. It's fine.
So, Tim Reynolds. When you hear Tim Reynolds, what do you think of?
Dave Matthews Band.
Well, everybody else did too.
But he's awesome.
We sold out. It was one of our first big ticketed shows there. And I capped it at 350 tickets. And we sold every one of them 4 days before the show started. And people came and we had a really good opener and he was awesome. And Tim Reynolds does not play Dave Matthews kind of music.
No, he plays Fish.
No, it is hard rock. I mean, it is hard rock.
Oh.
It is not quite metal, but like hard classic rock.
Okay.
And he did, you know, people were amped. Everybody was super excited and they came on stage and I'd listened to his albums. I knew what he was going to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 2 songs in, we lost 25% of the crowd. They bailed. They Holy just shit. Bailed. It was like, okay. What happened? Where did everybody go? And you know, you talk to some people later and they're like, we didn't think that's what we'd hear. But the show was fantastic. The band was super cool. Tim Reynolds
he seems like a nice guy.
He's like 4'2". He's tiny.
But he's a great,
super nice guy. They were awesome. They played such a good show.
His everybody guitar skills are off the charts.
Oh yeah. He's a phenomenal guitar player. The whole band is excellent. And it was a great show. It was awesome. But all of us just like looked at each other about 2 or 3 songs in and was like, did everybody just leave?
That's awesome. That's funny. Any good events coming up in the near future?
Yeah, we have the Stones Clones this Friday. They're a Stones cover band. It's on Valentine's Day. So if you don't have a date or you do, go listen to a good band.
It's my anniversary.
You got married on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, he's a sap.
That's
hopeless
a good
romantic.
Idea, man. Two birds, two and one.
One song.
And then the big event.
She knows.
The big event in Vero this week is the Florida Craft Brew and Wing Fest. It's this Saturday on Royal Palm Point. If you guys have never been, you should go. Even though you don't drink beer.
They got wings.
The chicken wings are fantastic. Okay.
I'm in.
So yeah, those are the couple good. And then after the beer fest, we have a band called Killbillies from South Florida who's excellent, playing at the brewery.
Are you guys going to be at the beer fest?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we'll have some beers. We'll have your White Walking Tree. And I'll have a firkin, which is a 10-gallon cask of Barnacled Manatee, our barley wine. So that's going to be exciting. Okay. It's been in the cask for a year.
So is it like a you buy a ticket, like all you can drink type deal? Or
yeah, so you can buy a wristband and get samples from, I think it's like 50 breweries. There's like 200 or 300 different beers you can try.
Okay.
I want to say it's $35 for a wristband, but don't quote me. And then you can buy, I don't sell them. So
yeah.
You can buy beers off the, like there's draft trucks, you can get full pints. And then there's, I don't know, 15 to 20 chicken wing vendors that are all competing for like the best wing in Vero. So
it's fats. So we don't really.
They are good. That's my favorite place to get chicken wings.
Hey, listen, we are foodies here. By far more, I guess, because we all eat food, but more than I don't should. Drink beer, you know.
Is that the requirement?
Yeah. That's it. That's all it takes to be a foodie.
Yeah.
And we're fat. So I think that's the two things. So, but yeah, I don't know who else in Vero. I mean, I feel like I've had most wing places in Vero.
It's going to be fats. It's going to be fats.
It's fats. I don't know if they've ever won before. I don't even know if they're competing. But there's a lot of non-restaurants that enter the competition.
Oh, okay.
Like there's a pest control company that's won 2 years and they make great fucking wings.
Is it Green Source?
I can't.
No. It is not Green Source.
It's not Green Source?
It's not Green Source.
Okay.
Well, our buddy owns
this episode just got sponsored by Green Source.
But I know like Nick's has won a couple times, but Nick's doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, yeah.
Nick's Family Restaurant downtown.
Did you like their wings?
They're delicious sauces. Well, delicious.
I had the one they put the peanut butter in. I wasn't a fan.
I don't know. I'd at least try that.
It was okay.
I don't know if I want a dozen of them, but I'll eat one or two. Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing about that festival is you go buy two wings from here, and you go get two wings from there, and you go get two wings from there. Yeah, and if you don't mind waiting in line and drinking beer, then it's a good show.
Maybe we'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Well, what
time does it start Saturday?
It's 11:30 or noon.
Okay.
I'm not the detail guy.
Yeah, me neither. Believe me. I'll forget what time already. You could have told me the correct time, and I'd still have to look it up.
I think it's 11:30 at Beer Fest starts.
Yeah. I'm in. Okay. We'll see you guys at 12:30, 1 o'clock. out at the,
are you going to be out there?
Oh, yeah. I don't ever miss it.
Okay.
I've been to every single one.
Are you
going to
be at your booth, or are you just going to be walking around?
Both.
Yeah, I'll be there to set up, and I'll be around, and I'll be drinking beer.
Well, if you hear like three random drunk looking dudes saying, "Hey, Mike," that's
us, me, him, and Tom, and then Corey.
Yeah,
and about 200 other people.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. By the way, we had Marty on last week.
Yeah,
Zickert, and he said he's got a mug.
Marty has his own mug, and so does a gentleman named Brian Lang. And Brian brought his in first. And then Marty brought his in, and I immediately realized that this is a bad idea. And I grandfathered those two guys in because they both do a ton for the brewery. They're always volunteering. They're helping out all the time. And no one else is ever allowed to have their own personal mug
there. I can appreciate that.
Not even me.
I feel like it makes it even better, though, for those two. Like,
I grandfathered them in immediately, and I said, you guys are okay. No one else is allowed to have it. But now we have a beer club. It's called the Lagoonians. Mm-hmm. So you get a bigger pour. Now, you don't get your own mug, but you get a 20-ounce glass instead of a 16. You get a bigger pour of Imperial beers. You get a discount. You get a T-shirt. You get 4 bottles throughout the year.
I feel like you could really go somewhere, almost like the Medal of Honor type thing.
What do you need
over time? And
you have to buy a membership. That's it.
Okay.
And it goes on. So
how much is a membership?
So they're $175 for the year, but they're closed. You can't buy one right now. The next time you would buy one is Black Friday. So the Friday after Thanksgiving, like we sold memberships at Black Friday this year. New Year's Eve was the close. You can't buy one after that. And then come November, if you have one, you can renew it. And then whatever's left over will go for sale on Black Friday, and there'll be 150 members, and that's it.
So there's a max out.
So it's a max out. You
have to quit to get
exclusive.
A spot to get to.
Yeah. Okay.
Very nice. All right.
Cool.
That's what makes it better.
Mike, we appreciate it for sure.
Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, if you guys got any questions, comments, or concerns, email us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com.
And if you want to see what's going on our social media, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at fullgorillalife and on Twitter at gorillafull, like beautiful, but with two L's.
All right. Jeremy's giving me a stare down for no reason. But listen.
Jeremy and Larry are
we always because we always mess up one of those. Corey started it, so I felt like I was going to nail it no matter what at that point.
Full Gorilla. Hey, visit our website, fullgorilla.life, and please hit subscribe on your podcast app of choice.
Right on. My trees are walking.
Walking tree.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.